Blog Talk Radio.
You think they really ready for you? Nah. You think that there'll be many of you? Nah. You really think they ready for you? Nah. You think they really ready for you? Nah. You think that there'll be many of you? Nah. You really think they ready for you? Nah. What y'all thinking?
Charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see
you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to
sing along.
Lift every
secret voice and say, tell her then, heavenly, bring me the harbor.
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our home ownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as $20 a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288. That's electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a national network voiceover talent. You've heard my voice represent hundreds of brands and businesses for the past 15 years. Well, now it's your turn. I understand how important it is to promote your business or event in the right way. That starts with quality radio spot production and the nation's top voiceover talent. You might wonder, how do I get started? What's the best approach? What voice talent do I use? And most importantly, can I do it affordably? That's why I created CoolVoiceRadio.com. I take you to the finish line, giving you everything you need to advertise effectively on the radio. I help you create your concept, write your spot, even choose your music and cast your voice talent and get it aired on the radio. Now that's cool. Email me today at info@coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800 because nothing beats the right sound.
Even superheroes gotta be healthy. Get the Sister Girl Workout Book, a graphic novel available this Black History Month at the DuSable Museum Trading Post gift shop located at 56 and Cottage Grove in Chicago. There you'll find our growing line of hot Black Age graphic novels, or visit Only Studios at www.onlistudios.com. Plus, get your own Onlywears Art Star Denim Jacket. These one-of-a-kind special designs are available now at the Elephant Room Gallery at 703 South Wabash in Chicago. Only's wearable art brings out the art star in you. Indie today, Black Age forever at www.onlistudios.com.
Turn my headphones up. Louder.
Hello, 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 white America, assassinate my character. Money matrimony, yeah, they tryna break the marriage up. Who gon' act phony or who gon' try to embarrass ya? I'ma need a day off, I think I called Ferris up.
Bueller had a Mueller, but I switched it for a melee, cause I'm richer. And prior to this shit was moving freebase.
Had a conference with the DJ,
yeah,
Puerto Rico 3 days.
Polly with the PDs, now they got that shit on replay.
Sorry I'm in pajamas, but I just get off the PJ. And last party we had, they shut down Privé.
Ain't that where the heat play?
Yeah.
Nigga take ballers these days.
Yeah. Ain't that like LeBron James?
Ain't that just like D-Wade? Nah. Wait.
What you need? What you need? I got what you need. What you need? What you need? I got what you need.
What's up, motherfucker? Where my money at? You gon' make me come down to your house where your mommy at? Mommy rap the kids, have them crying for they mommy back. Tell me that your daddy is. Tell him I just want my rack.
Racks on racks on racks. Made backs on backs on backs on backs on backs.
Who in that?
Oh shit, it's just blacks on blacks on blacks. 100 stacks.
How you kidding?
Nigga laying raps on tracks.
I wish I could give you this feeling. I'm planking on the million. I'm riding through your hood. You can bank, I ain't got no ceiling.
Made a left on Ocean Ave.
Right.
We in Bed-Stuy.
Made a right on 79th. I'm coming down South Shore Drive.
I was made in Chi-Town.
Brooklyn to our top.
What's going on, everybody? I'm having a hard time with this mic. I sound kind of choppy. Maybe that might be better. 1, 2. Testing 1, 2. I don't know about this mic. I'm going to switch mics right now. 347-838-9825. 347. Testing 1, 2. Can you hear me? Am I live? Testing 1, 2. Testing. Hear me? You hear me? All right. Here we go. What's going on, everybody? Jimmy Lee's Underground Radio Talk to Me Tuesday. We're expecting a call from, truth be told, MG Media, Carl West, to come on. And we're going to try to chop it up on the future of black leadership. We're going on. He also had this event here at Chicago State. Well, he was a part of the event at Chicago State, which was called the State of Black Chicago. And we're going to see what his take on that was. Now, dig this. What y'all think about this? Do y'all feel that your DNA is your property? And that you have the right to your property. Whether the Supreme Court feels that DNA is just like a fingerprint, that you leave your DNA everywhere, like you leave your fingerprints everywhere. So now, whether you're arrested or not, law enforcement has a green light. You take your DNA and put it in a database. Now, some people might be thinking that is a good thing, because if you're not a guilty criminal, what should you have to worry about? On the other hand, people are seeing that, why should you know all of my imperfections? If I have hepatitis, if I have syphilis, if I have diabetes, if my chances of getting cancer are great. I mean, who knows where that information is going to line up to. It's just that it's the state of where we are at right now.
Hey, I'm sorry.
You know, the state where we are right now. It's that, what y'all think about that? Is it cool? I mean, here in the Obama land, it seems that all your rights are being thrown out the window, and being the minority, blacks, Democrats, liberals, we must be silent and not try to have any dissenting views or try to, quote-unquote, let the Republicans win. Is that where we at right now? Is that why we have the affirmative action laws being challenged in the Supreme Court? The affirmative action laws were laws of African Americans, but everybody else are using them. If you look at all the affirmative action cases, the chances that the Europeans who are beefing with minorities are beefing with minorities of Asian or Latino descent, there are very few cases, if any, there are very few cases where a white student was denied recently, a white student. There are very few cases recently that have shown white students being discriminated against because an African American took their seat. Again, minorities are Asians. Like immigrants, all immigrants are not Hispanic. You know? What do you feel about that? Do you think we should be in the streets? Do you think we should be up in arms? Do you think we should let it slide? And what about the IRS investigation? What's going on with that? Y'all satisfied with that? Are y'all satisfied with the fact that the government can just pick and choose who they want to harass? Now, a lot of people, Obamacare, your Obama lovers, and everybody else is screaming, yeah, get the Tea Party, yeah, get them, but not knowing that this is the same arm of the government that was used to spy on Martin Luther King, the same organization that was used to cause
organized chaos and confusion amongst all the black organizations. See, when the government, once upon a time, was the enemy of the African-American because we knew what they did to all our leaders and how they tried to entrap us. Now, here we are 40-some years later saying the government is our friend. Where are we at right now? Real talk, people. You know, the fact that the IRS are running roughshod. I mean, people can say, yeah, they need to get the Tea Party out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But when Obama's gone and there's somebody else in that doing that to Democratic organizations, we still be quiet. See, what's wrong one way is wrong always, you know. And that's just my take on that because I don't feel that my DNA should, if I get pulled over for a traffic ticket or if I get pulled over for having a cell phone on, or not my seatbelt on, I'm subjected to have my DNA taken. Where is the outrage, people? I mean, y'all think because Obama's in office, he's straight. He got two more years. And then what? 347-838-9825. We got my man Carlos on there. You pull him in on those numbers. I got some love. Now that's me calls on. Which one is it? 451. What's going on, brother? What's happening, my man? Carl.
Hello.
Carl,
yeah,
hey, what's going
okay,
on? How
yeah,
you
okay,
doing?
This is me, yeah. I'm okay, man. And you?
All right, all right, all right. We're glad to have you here, Carl West of Truth Be Told, MG Media.
Yes.
Why don't you tell my listeners a bit about MG Media, and then we can chop it up on things that's going on with the state of black leadership and the state of black Chicago that I heard that you were sponsored and attended. But tell my audience, what is Truth Be Told, MG Media?
Well, MG Media is a publishing and marketing company that I founded over a decade ago, and it was to be a arm that distribute content. Of course, at first it was physical content because it was a magazine entity in the beginning, but then over the last 3 years I launched TBT News Service, Truth Be Told, which is now an online news and information outlet distributing what I would consider to be relevant and premium content to our subscribers across the globe. Yeah.
Okay, that's good. That's great. You also have a good newsletter that is going on. You was participating or helped sponsor the State of Black Chicago. How was that?
Well, I was a part of it on the back end. I mean, they had already kind of came together, the powers, and pulled it all together. I just, of course, came in on the back end of it. And you know, it was a cause that probably was needed, a call to action that is warranted, you know, but a lot of times you just got to be careful of who's calling people to action, right? You don't want to, you know, if we need to go right and people calling you to go left, and then that's the problem. Right, so that's kind of what I looked at in a nutshell. If I was to put it all into one statement, it would be that. I mean, the action that does need to be called, we should be going right. They called an action that have us going left, and we've always been going left already.
Right.
That wasn't a new direction for us. It was an old direction by some old leadership, you know, trying to hold on to something, as I said in one of my writings, that they don't, something that they don't even have. You can't hold on to something that you don't have.
Right.
You know,
what I find out, Carl, is that because you are up in age does not give you the authority to say that you are the elder that you should follow. Now, when I look at the panel of people that was on the panel, when I look at, God bless them, Ed Gardner, want to do something for everybody, and Luke Fiasco, that point on, I said that was kind of an odd combination. It was too far to the extreme. You have either the jazz era to the hip hop era.
He was used just for a draw. I mean, he had to have a draw that they felt from a young perspective that would draw people in. So, you know, that.
Here's the funny part. If most of those people up here, and I'm quite sure all of them love Obama and Obama supporters, Why would you have Lupe Fiasco who came up there and fronted on Obama, calling him the most biggest terrorist, killing out more Africans than anybody? I mean, Lupe Fiasco is not a friend of the president, you know. And if everybody, his politics, they will find out that his politics is different from everybody that was on that panel. You know, they don't see the same.
And I'm sure they wish they probably didn't have him there with that platform based on that right there, what you said, right? They probably said we should have probably evaluated him a little closer before we gave him the microphone.
Right, because what he was saying is what the people are really feeling, because there are a lot of people who love Obama but are really hungry right now and are dissatisfied, which brings me to the topic that Ebony wants us to talk about, which is the next generation of black leaders, which you say you're trying to kick off and trying to start. But like you were saying, that it's difficult to get started with this. There's a lot of people sending us left. In your opinion, here in Chicago, Illinois, Cook County, what do you think the direction of African Americans?
What you come out there for like that? What'd you say?
What do you think the direction of African Americans should be at? You know, it's not the state of Black America. I mean, excuse me, that's not Black America. State of Black Chicago. You from Chicago, Cook County, Illinois. Where do you think the state of Black Chicago, Cook County, Illinois, where do you think we should be at? Where do you think we should be heading towards?
I mean, the things that they talked about, it's not that what they saying were wrong. It's just the saying one. It just once again, the wrong people were saying it. The things that they were saying in terms of what needs to be done, they were accurate in that. It's just that these are people who had their turn and they squandered it. So now they want to kind of relive the past. Without any concern for the future. So all the things that everybody had said on the panels and just in interviews all across the country is all real. It's all valid, right? Because there's no one, you know, no one foolproof thing. But it has to be the right people. It's like I always say about business, right? To me, there's no idea of a bad business of a, you know, it's just a matter of who executing it, right? The right people got to execute things for it to happen. You know,
right.
it's like having LeBron on Cleveland, even though they made it there, but they didn't win it all, right? It just wasn't the right fit. Then he got with the right fit, he won it all. So you got to get the right fit. The right kind of people delivering the message and then executing that message. That's the most important thing, is execution. Everybody can scream it, but who's going to execute it? And so those people can't execute it. They blew their chance to do that, and they stood around and watched they offspring and the generation behind them, which is us, kind of fall by the wayside. And they put us under the tutelage and leadership of a man for the last 24 years in Chicago, which is Mayor Daley, who didn't have our best interests in hand, but they all had us falling behind him, or at least under his tutelage, his leadership. And it killed us. It killed Black Chicago being under his rule for 24 years. I mean, really, it killed our generation, you know. And they all benefited in some capacity, but we left holding the stick. We was left holding the wrong end of the stick.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, because when you want to look at the next generation of black leaders, since people are looking for those next generation of black leaders, you got to look at the machine that is, quote-unquote, churning out these next black leaders. The machine that's turning out the next black leaders is the Democratic machine. And they're the ones who put out the next person, and then they say, hey, everybody, he's a black guy. He's in politics. He got our best interest at hand. They get an old lady saying, God bless you, you're down with us. And then black point on, he's been anointed a black leader. And that's the problem right now.
And it hasn't been a machine that's been good for us anyway, the last 25 to 30 years, right?
Years.
It ain't been a machine that was good for us anyway, but yet our ancestors, our elders, they adopted to the machine and pushed us on that machine. I mean, if we would have had any sense, if our elders had any sense, they would have looked at, they would have at least put fear in the machine by saying, we're going to consider the Republican Party if you guys don't give us what we need. It should just, I mean, it's like everything. It's like what did the gays just tell the politicians the other day? The fact that y'all have not voted for gay rights,
guys
are not welcome at the parade.
Right.
You have to light a fire under people to make them say, wait a minute, nobody, the fire was never lit under them. The fire was fucking, we was the one thrown in the flames.
Right. I agree with you right there because therein lies the problem. Now, here you go in Springfield, they just closed up a session. They just closed up a session in the House. And they did not even pass not one law. And as a matter of fact, they're going to increase the budget. And people don't even have no idea what's going on. They want to bring Republicans are doing us wrong, but you got a Democratic governor, Speaker of the House, Speaker of the Senate, Mayor, County Board President, and they all are supposed to be the friends of blacks, but yet we have no rights, we have no money, we have no jobs, we have no respect. But yet, every year,
and our elected officials and our elected legislators down in Springfield, they supposed to come back. You said we don't know what's going on, right? Well, they got a pot of money that they get as part of their office, right? They get a ton of money. They get money they can spend on so certain things. Every voter that's in these different wards, precincts should be getting mailings from the state reps, the congressmen, the senators, telling us exactly what's going on. The same way we get junk mail in the mail, we should be getting stuff from them every week, telling us. But they don't want to. They're not going to invest that money in giving us information. That's not in their best interest. So, but they should because they got the money to spend on marketing and promotions. We should be getting our mailbox every time a session is over, either while it's going on, we should be getting mailings in our box telling us what's going on, what's being voted on, what's the everything. But we don't get nothing. So we get up in the dark and then we get 30-second, 1-minute sound bites on our nightly news talking about it.
Not only that, we don't get it from our people, but when let's give an example, Benghazi. Should we be upset about Benghazi? I mean, should African Americans be upset about Benghazi? What about affordable health care? Should blacks be concerned about affordable health care? I mean, it's as if there's laws being passed in D.C. and the black gatekeepers are not giving us information. How do we know if our men are even intelligent enough to be handling the issues? Because we just give them a pass because of what really,
need the information. They won't even give us information. Give us the option to give us information so we can make rational decisions, but they don't give us that. You know, they keep us in the dark, right? And so, when you're in the dark, man, you know, you shit. What you do? You walk in the shit, right? And that's what, you know. And one of the things about that Congress was I guess they said they had a 9-point plan, right? And my whole thing to them was, fuck a 9-point plan. Let's accomplish one fucking thing collectively, right? I'm sorry, I'm sorry for you.
Right.
Fanny,
No. It's okay. It's internet, radio.
Let's just get one objective, and let's get everybody on that objective and fulfill it. Let's do that first and give up. How are you going to discuss a 9-point plan? Forget a 9-point plan. Let's just take one or maybe two items, put them on the table, agree that this is what we're going to run with and run with that. The 9-point plan, I mean, you know, it's like they always say, specialize in something and, you know, be an expert in something instead of having a little knowledge in everything, right?
That's
how I look at how we should approach this. And that without, so when you ask me what should be done, we should take one issue, maybe two, if niggas can handle two, but definitely one issue, and put issue on the forefront, and then we run with that particular issue and make that and make the realities of that issue come to life, right? And then once we fulfill that, or we feel that we miss a fulfilling that, and then we throw another one on the table, and then we execute it, right? It's like running a play. When you're a team, you don't run 9 plays at one time. You run one play, and you run that play to perfection.
Right.
And that's how I feel we should run this game. Get one issue and run it to perfection.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, but here's the deal. You know, here's the deal, especially our political leaders. People need to understand this. They're screaming Mike Madigan. Everybody's screaming Mike Madigan. They're screaming Lisa Madigan, but they don't realize how the structure of politics ran here in Chicago. Mike Madigan is in charge of the Illinois Democratic Party. Whatever he say, for all everybody on the state party, there it goes. You got Berrios. He's in charge of all the Democrats in the county. You know, FA, Hispanic, Uno, whatever he says. There it goes, there it goes. At that point on, you got these two people dictating and delegating how our lives should be run. And it'd be really hard for anybody to come up on one or two issues unless Mike Madigan says it's okay. The real deal is you cannot do anything unless Mike Madigan says okay. That's the problem. So people see you right now screaming, they ain't got no fair share. You elect school board, but yet they vote for all the same people left and right. Now, here we coming up on election 2014, and election 2014, and we're going to do the same mistakes that we did last time by voting the same people in who does not have our interest. Let's call your voting record out right now. Let's say the South Side and West Side state reps and state senators. Let's check their records out right now, the ones who are going to be going to office in 2014. What have they accomplished besides getting Uno $100 million? You know, besides accomplishing not getting things for the African American community. Will blacks hold them to the fire? Will they? It's difficult to say, you know. But let me tell you this right here. I have a plan for that right there, Brother Westy. Me, the Martin Luther King Republicans, we're going to make sure, quote unquote, the truth be told, quote unquote, and we're not going to let, well, I can't speak for the West Side. I'm speaking on the South Side. But we're not going to let the South Side state rep get away with this now. Matter of fact, we got two candidates already lined up and going to run in the South Side area. One's going to be running in the 5th District. We're trying to get one to run in the 24th District of the state race. And we're going to try to. The funny part about it, we know we're going to lose. We're going out blazing because we feel that these individuals need to be challenged. Well, we don't know we're going to lose or not. We're going to go in like a suicide bomber. We're about to go into the Democratic areas of the South Side and challenge these state reps, challenge these county commissioners about what have they been bringing to the table for African Americans. Because if we are the majority, which we are here in Chicago, we should not be sitting here with pennies. Immigrants should not be coming over here to get free, coming off the boat to get free jobs, health care, education. And we've been sitting screaming on reparations for years and being denied, but they get it real fast. That's not fair.
Well, I mean, it all falls on, you know, people say, oh, but don't criticize your elected official. Well, it all falls on them because they are the representatives that are the people can't walk into City Hall. The people can't walk into Springfield. The people can't walk into Washington, D.C. and sit in on meetings and planning committees and committee meetings and budgets. We can't do that. The system is set up the way it's set up, and that is set up for you to elect individuals that will go there and speak and act on your behalf to make sure that you, your community, your constituents, your racial group get the things that you need and desire. We have seen our elected officials, for the most part, fail us in making those things happen. And then we say we can't criticize them. We should criticize them more. And we should criticize them to the point where, I mean, we have one – the things that we've done wrong is, of course, have not used – exercise our voting privilege. Because when you – look, if I go to a restaurant, I don't like the way they treat me, I don't go back. It's simple. You may get two times. you may get two times to do me wrong. You know, and the first time I'm going to tell you, and I hope that the second time you acknowledge that I told you the first time and you do everything in your power to make sure the second time you get it right. But if you disrespect me and treat me wrong for a second time, that's all you get. When I stop going there and using my money to patronize you, that's my way of voting you out of my office, voting you out of my space. We have not done that effectively. And one reason, because as you said before, we've been bamboozled by a democratic system that continues to jam. I tell us this is what we got to do. We should support this. And we are not free, and we don't have enough free-thinking individuals who can make rational decisions on their own when they see, hear, and smell garbage to understand the garbage needs to go out.
Correct, correct. And honestly, Brother West, that's what I'm trying to do right now. I'm putting together, we almost got our slate together of the alternative ticket. Now, we GOP, but we're not the conservative. We're not the Tea Party. We're the Martin Luther King Republican. You know, we're a pro-black Republican. Now, I'm sorry. We're a pro-black Republican organization, and we realize that the Republican Party right now will have and always have been the party of African Americans. It's how you look at the glass half full. Some people say that the Republican Party has not done nothing for African Americans, but if I throw you out a cat's like Ed Book, everybody's falling outside the company, you got Title IX and affordable housing, Republican. If I say names like Thurgood Marshall, another Republican person you got put up there, let me see, Clarence Thomas, everybody trip on. You know, we got a black man on Supreme Court, and we had Democratic presidents left and right, and nobody has even gave us one. Colin Powell, Condoleezza Rice. These are African Americans that have been placed in positions of power, not token positions, you know, just at the front desk. You don't give a black man Secretary of State or Secretary of Defense or Joint Chiefs of Staff or National Security Advisor for a token job. You know, that means I am satisfied that this individual can do this job correctly. You know, and I'm not going off skin color, but people look at these individuals and say, are you a Tom, or are you this and that? I'm not looking at Colin Powell. Here's a black man that was in charge of the most powerful army on the face of the planet. And then we had Bush, he was the face of America. And then Kanye after that. You know, but what I'm saying is, when you look at it, they look at Ronald Reagan. They look at Ronald Reagan signing Martin Luther King. They look at Santa Martin Luther King birthday and holiday or giving Colin Powell a chance. They look at George Bush. They don't see the stuff that George Bush has done for African Americans. Even the last one just left, the policies that he did for Africa. But I'm not sitting here carrying the white man's water, everybody. I don't got to know that right there. I'm just saying that, like you said, we need to be open-minded. We need to be open-minded. And hold on, Brother West. I got a quick little mini break. I got another call. Hold on. I got Carl West of 2 Feet Old Media. And I was coming back to tell you about your blog site, too, Carl, and to get another caller. Free Underground Radio, 347-838-9-79825. What's up, Dwayne?
Turn my headphones up. Louder.
Hello, 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 white America, assassinate my character. Money matrimony, yeah, they tryna break the marriage up. Who gon' act phony, who gon' try to embarrass ya? I'ma need a day off, I think I call Ferris up.
Mueller had a Mueller, but I switched it for a melee, cause I'm richer. And prior to this shit was moving freebie.
Had a conference with the DJ,
yeah.
Puerto Rico 3 days.
Polly with the PDs, now they got that shit on replay.
Sorry I'm in pajamas, but I just get off the PJ. And last party we had, they shut down Privé.
Ain't that where the heat play?
Yeah.
Nigga take ballers these days.
Yeah. Ain't that like LeBron James?
Ain't that just like D-Wade? Wait.
What you need? 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 What you need?
What's up, motherfucker? Where my money at? You gon' make me come down to your house where your mommy at? Mommy wrap the kids, have them crying for their mommy back. Tell me that
that your daddy is. Tell him I just want my rack.
Racks on racks on racks.
Rack.
Made backs on backs on backs on backs on backs.
Who in that?
Oh shit, it's just blacks on blacks on blacks. 100 stacks.
How you kidding?
Nigga laying raps on tracks.
I wish I could give you this feeling. I'm planking on the million. I'm riding through your hood. You can bank, I ain't got no ceiling.
Made a left on no strength ass.
Right.
We in bed style.
Made a right on 79. I'm coming down South Shore Drive.
Our main shot town.
Brooklyn to our top.
Underground Radio Network, and we have Carl West on talking about next generation leadership. We also got Toby Miller chiming in from Indianapolis, Indiana. So I'm going to bring you in for a minute, Toby, to the round table. Toby, this is Mr. Carl West, our brother here in Chicago. Mr. West, Carl West, this is Toby Miller. He's calling from Indianapolis, Indiana. He's doing a lot of things in Indiana, and he saw the discussion was about next generation leaders. So we brought him in because he's doing things. You know, he's our comrade. So how you doing, Toby?
Oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm glad to be on again.
So
can you
tell me about Indianapolis. Is it also a void as the new black leaders? Are they emerging in Indianapolis? Or do you see, like, what's happening here in Chicago, the old guard, and God bless them, you know, still kind of holding on to things that, like Carl West said, things they holding on to that they don't. What you say, Carl? Holding on to things they don't have? What you say? Hello, Carl? Hello?
Did we lose Carl?
Oh, there you go. Carl, I'm sorry. You was muted. There you go.
It's like they always say, you got certain rappers writing videos and stuff, flaunting cars and bitches, and they didn't even got that. They don't even live that way for real, right?
Right.
That's how old heads are. They running around. They trying to protect things they ain't even got. You know what I mean? The thing about them is so messed up is that most of our political people don't even really know real power. They don't even know real power.
Right. Right. Well, you know,
the power they got is all fake. It's all fake power. They've been relegated to power in their mind that they think is real, but it's really not, because you know they got to go down, especially they got to go and beg the other people for stuff, the mayor and other people, and it tells you that you ain't got no power. If you got power, you do like them gays just said. If you don't pass that bill, you can't come ride our float. Something as simple as that. And you know
simple.
How much they like to ride the floats.
Mm-hmm.
They love to ride the floats to be seen. They say if you don't pass this bill, y'all ain't riding our floats.
Right.
They scrambling now. That's power.
Yeah. And actually, we have that power. We are like a sleeping giant, Toby. Don't you agree? All over this country, the black community, the black voters, it's like, you know, I want to say we've been lulled to sleep with a real nice melody, and we just feeling good about it, you know, thinking that we got a couple of rooms in the board. I'm the first black this. I'm the first black that. I'm the first black commissioner. I'm the black, you know, and they don't want a second. They don't want nobody to come
again,
in third.
It's no real power, though. They have no real power behind those titles. That's my point. They got those titles, but there's no real power behind it.
I think our challenge is we really struggle with definitions here. And I'm not besmirching anything anybody's saying right now. I'm just saying that when we talk about empowerment, it's the capacity to define and act upon interests. It's not based on position. you know. And I think, unfortunately, and this is this, I think this is a story here in Indianapolis a little bit. We have folks who have become positional figureheads without the ability to even help us define and act upon our interests. We tend to assign interest to political parties, and unfortunately, that's not serving us at all. I really think we missed the boat, and I think the transfer from one generation of, quote, leaders to the next generation has been rather clumsy, because our current generation of leaders, in my opinion, has made an industry out of the suffering of our people and not necessarily an industry out of the
poverty pit,
really addressing the issues that impact our people.
Poverty pimps. Poverty pimps, what I call them, poverty pimps. Because right now, let me give you an example. Now, I feel sorry for this guy's name, Theo Hardeman. Now, he got some trouble today, you know, with domestic violence. I'm not going to jump on that. But here's this guy. He got paid off of ceasefire, which he got all his millions of dollars to come in the community to stop crime. But, you know, like I said to you earlier, Toby, we had you on my show, you don't need no government money to stop crime in your community. You don't need no government
That's
money
right.
to change the community. You do not need to go to the government and say, well, give me this money, then I'll stop this crime that's going on. That's extortion. That's extortion right there.
Yeah.
And like we got this thing in Chicago, Toby, that everybody's bringing out called Safe Passage, something that the mayor has put out here to give the children safe passage to school. Now, where I'm from, they've been paid to make sure the kids get back and forth to school. Now, where I'm from, you paying somebody some money to make sure these kids get back. That's extortion. You know, again, you're extorting money to make sure people get back and forth. Let me tell you how quiet people are here in Chicago. You too, Carl. Check this out. You might want to holler at this and peep out yourself. Now, you know, Carl, we got the train shut down here in Chicago on 95th Street all the way down to, you know, Chinatown. They want to say they're working on it, but I don't know how long you wrote the L's in your life, Carl. But I know I wrote the L's many times, and they've been working on that train like that, and they always put one car go one way, the other car to go the other way. But this time, I find it real interesting that they're cutting off the line from 95th South Chicago to right on the edge of, the circle, right on the edge of the circle. Now they got us riding the buses downtown to get downtown. As soon as they feel like it, they can stop the bus services. Now we can't go downtown. Now you know already the mayor got a problem with black folks coming down to Chicago downtown because of the image problem of them mobbing out. So what did he do? He sneakily, so sneaky, he put in a plan to shut blacks going down to Chicago by stopping us from the train and got us all these packed bus services. That's what I'm saying, but not one black politician, and I'm quite sure they're behind it, I'm quite sure they know about it, or even informing the people that we can't go downtown no more. If you black and young teenagers, there's no way that you can go downtown and enjoy yourself. You can't park. You can't drive your car down there. Parking meters. You can't park your car down there. High park or high garage there. And now you can't take public transportation downtown. But has anybody said anything, Carl? Have you noticed that, Carl? Have you noticed it?
Well, I noticed it from the beginning. I mean, I've looked at it. And I mean, I still got mixed views on it because, we did have a system that's been outdated for a long time. So it's just a matter to see what it's going to look like when it's done and how would it be utilized then. I mean, that's the real test to me, because the system was outdated. It was horrible. I mean, it was a horrible system. You know what I mean? So we got to see how – you have to always look at the end result and what is it going to look like. I mean, it doesn't – it looked like it was planned out for the benefit of the people. Of course not. It never is. So that's nothing new. But, when the end results come, that's when we'll really know. And then, of course, as usual, it'll be too late.
Well, I see the end results might be good. It might be beautified, but let's look at what they said, Carl. You know, and I ain't going to full disclosure. I know you got to add on your webpage from CTA, but let's look for disclosure. The CTA line is going to be cut off between now and October. That's 5 months, right? 5 months is 5 months. 5 to October. Now,
That means there's only one way you can get in and out of downtown. That's on the CTA bus lines. Well, I just want to drop this to you for your submission, and I'm here to say that that is a plan to eliminate the African-American youth from going downtown for the summer. So you won't have that, none of those problems that you saw on the TV earlier with a bunch of youths mobbing up, getting on Facebook and linking up and meeting downtown. They have no way to get down there no more.
That part, I absolutely agree with you.
That's what I'm saying.
I absolutely agree with you that it was a plan. It was done around this time to test and see how that would work. Oh, I agree with you. They talked about this for years. This is not even nothing new. It's just the way they, once again, what I said was, is how the message has always been there. It's
right.
How you script it when it's who's in charge of it now. Because they always talked about charging Negroes to come into the loop. You know, they was talking about putting a tollway up at that 22nd Street stop. When you come around 22nd Street at that light, they was talking about putting a tollway there to stop you, where you had to, you know, you had to pay money to come in to get to exit that 22nd stop. So I agree with you. They've been talking about this for a very long time, and what they did was they just found a way to see what this is now is just a way to test it. They're just testing it. Let's see how this gonna work. And if they look up and realize that, you know, a large amount of people stop coming downtown via public transportation, and then they'll know that they're on the right track. Because we all know, if you've been around long enough, you know how these people think. They always think long term, is what I always say, how we have to stop thinking. We got to always think long term. We can't think about today. We got to think about 5 to 10 years from now. What is it going to look like? And that's what they're looking at. They're looking at exactly what is it going to look like a few years from now, and they're using this particular L shutdown as a way to give them a snapshot of what it's going to look like. That I agree with you completely.
But what I'm saying is, what has happened is, quote unquote, South Africa. I hate to go Middle East. I hate to go Palestine, Israel. What I'm saying is, black children now cannot go downtown for the summer. Can't go down there now. But they're not telling you that. We have been isolated to our communities off top. We have been without no blockades, without no change. We have been relegated to one little area of town. Same with the West Side, too. Now, what's happened is, and not one politician has said anything, and not one black person has said anything, as if no one is paying attention to what is happening. And this is what I'm trying to, like you said earlier, we go left, right. I'm on the right side. I'm on the right. I'm Republican. So I left, you know, because you need someone to stand out in the crowd to say what I'm saying right now. I mean, you have media, I mean, you have a whole bunch of audience that reads your newsletter every week. They put it out there. Every day almost, you know, go back and read your papers and stuff like that. But has anyone, I mean, they show you on the media, yeah, it's working smooth. But the outcome is this, that you're not allowed to be downtown after Friday unless you work downtown. If you don't work downtown, if you're not a black citizen working downtown Monday through Friday, you're not going to be down there.
I'm sitting here in my computer now, and it's funny that you're saying that. I'm going to pose that question in an article Thursday about CTA as a deterrent, that this close down is a deterrent for stopping little young black kids from coming downtown. I'm going to see what the response is going to be with that.
They're not looking at that, Carl. They're not looking at it. They're looking at just the riding of the inconvenience of the train ride. They're not looking at the incidents that led up to why we're doing this right now. They're not looking at the incidents that led up before. And this is my opinion, and I can see it broad as daylight. You got the State Street bus, the only bus is going downtown. Or the Jeffrey. Jeffrey don't run Hollywood on Saturdays. You know, Cottage Grove don't Hollywood. I mean, you can stop it. You can stop everybody right at the turn. And if there's any, let's say, altercations, or if there's any, let's say, disturbance with any kids downtown, they can stop those buses right then. and make sure no one gets off. We are living right now in America under I can't recognize America. I can say that right now. I can't recognize America. Check it out. I can get stopped and get my DNA test for not even doing a crime. I mean, right there. I mean, I can get my home, which I feel is part of my property. I can be stopped, illegally searched and seized, and get a swab in my mouth. I'm not guilty of a crime, but I just been hijacking my DNA, you know, without a problem. You know, it's like, where are we living at? You know, anybody, I mean?
Oh, well, I said that was the tipping of what's to come. I mean, of all of your civil liberties being taken away. It's going to be an unfamiliar America in a short period of time as they continue to take away our liberties. And I'll agree with you 100% again. I mean, it's just a matter of time before we're going to have to ask for permission to take a leak.
Right. Or even breathe some air. Hey, Toby, what do you think about that, Toby? What do you think about it?
Oh, man, I think y'all are right on. I hate to wax Hollywood on y'all, but one of my favorite lines from one of the Star Wars movies was when Princess Amidala said, "This is how
democracy
liberty
falls with a standing applause." That was the coldest line, I swear. That was the coldest line at the whole movie. This is how liberty dies.
What did it say? What did it say?
She said, "This is how liberty dies, with thunderous applause."
With thunderous applause.
And I think that's what we're dealing with. We have a society where civil liberties now are chipped away, and people applaud it and call it something else. And I think what's happening is, you know, that frog, you know, that whole analogy of the frog boiling water. If you drop a frog in boiling the water, it'll try to jump out. But if you put a frog in water and you slowly heat it up, that frog ain't going to move. That's exactly who we are now. We're that frog. We are over here applauding. And because he's got black skin, we give this brother a pass on defending the civil liberties of our people. And I'm not just talking about black folks. I'm talking about all Americans. And we give them a pass. None of us are holding this cat accountable. We're not checking them on that. Whoa, dog. Who do you think they're going to be swabbing most?
Right. Who's going to get stopped the most? Who's going to be in the database the most? You know, they passed a law that if you have your cell phone in your hand, police can stop you. Now you're going to stop me by my cell phone in hand, now I got my DNA check because, hey, it's the law now. I could be a criminal. No. And no one is saying anything. No one is screaming nothing. You know, no black folks are saying anything. No black politicians are screaming outrage. None of them. And it's going to get us the most. You know, we pack the jails the most.
I heard some people today on the radio saying, well, they, you know, good. You know, they like, good. If you ain't doing no crime, you ain't got to worry about it. And I'm like, dude, it had nothing to do with a crime, whether you guilty of a crime or not. It got something to do with something plain and simple of violating your civil liberty, because once you give them permission to do this, it's going to be something else in a few years from now. It's just every year is going to be something new that they'll take away from you. And that's the real deal. They're just going to take something away from us every year. It'll be something else, and then all we can do is accept it and keep it moving.
Oh, yeah, we're supposed to be happy about it because it's happening under a black man's watch.
Right.
I love the skin this brother's in, but I don't like what's happening while under his watch. It's difficult for some to hold this cat accountable. All of a sudden, look at as, you know, the Uncle Tom's. Amazing.
It's not a good look at all, that's for sure.
It's absolutely not a good look. And you're right, there's not enough people screaming about it at all.
But again, I think we lulled asleep, brother. We lulled asleep. We talk about the next generation of leadership. The current leadership, the old guard, isn't informing the young guard about what we're seeing. And the young guard is so disconnected, they don't even realize what's going on.
They don't. And this is where I'm coming from. We have all these black, in every black city in America, there's at least 2 to 3 black congressmen who put our trust in, we put our trust in just at least to, we say, lost my word, did you lose him? We lost call. At least we put him in trust to at least tell us what's going on in America and at least inform us of what's happening. We sit him down there. I mean, again, is Obamacare the right care for everybody? I mean, Obama said he's going to hire IRS agents to enforce this law. You know what the law is? If you ain't got no health insurance, you got to pay for your taxes. But we see right now what the IRS agents are doing. They're picking and choosing. What do you think about that, Toby? Did you see the hearing today or anything like that?
Man, I'm just sick of it. I'm not surprised. And see, if they were checking black folks, we would call it COINTELPRO. But it's the same.
COINTELPRO. We're called a COINTELPRO all day
that's
long.
That's exactly what happened.
That's all black folks in the 60s and 70s. It's the government after us through the IRS to check all our documents through the FBI. When did they become our friends, Toby? Tell me.
They're still our friends. And we sitting here thinking, oh, everything's good. No, y'all, no, it's not. We were calling it COINTELPRO, but it's the same playbook. It's the same
playbook.
Has been going on, continues to go on, and we kind of sitting back like we sat down and happy, like everything's good. No, no.
See, well, I think
that's this new generation leadership, right? Is that the old generation?
What was he? But Kobe. I'm gonna call it Kobe. But Toby, let's ask this question right now.
Mm-hmm.
Take away COINTELPRO Black Death Jesse Jackson Jr., COINTELPRO Black Death Al Sharpton. Who is putting on the line right now for black folks? I can't say Tavis Smiley no more because he don't look the same no more. I can't Michael, Eric Dyson, he don't look the same no more. What's from Cornell University? He don't look the same no more. He's not saying the same. I mean, right now, listen, Toby, look at our age groups. Look at our generation. Where are we at? Where are we at?
You're right.
You know, we're about to be 50s. Where are we at? Is it over? Like he was saying something earlier, they had Carl Spence something earlier about a program that he attended. It was the State of Black Chicago. And he said it was a laughing stock. People got booed because you had two different spectrums of individuals. Now you had founder of Soft Sheen, Ed Gardner there, Vietnam War, trying to get blacks contracts here in Chicago. Oh, man, damn near by the end of his grave, still trying to fight. Lupe Fiasco, who said, fuck you, Obama. You know, you killing everybody else. You know, which I ain't got no problem with both of those individuals. But they put them on the same stage, old and young. You got the old folks telling young, Willie Lynch it all day long. Old folks telling young people, man, hey, it's y'all fault. Young folks telling old people, hey, y'all get out the way. But ain't nobody saying, and there ain't nobody who has a little apprentice saying, I feel this way. Let me give you an example. Now, I would say Jesse Jackson, but his son's in jail. If Jesse had a little boy that was a reverend, not a politician, a reverend that was going out there fighting things. I feel that this is going on. I mean, people, we're going to have a boycott. We're going to stop this right here. People, we're going to stop this right there. Let's get a mass movement and make things happen right here. As a matter of fact, there was one individual. He was on the radio. Michael Bazin.
He went on the air and said, we're about to go down to Genesis 6. Fuck everybody else. I don't care what's going on. We're going to shut it down. They go down to Genesis 6, about to be a whole ride over a hanging tree. Everybody forgot about Genesis 6. Why? Because we got Barack Obama. But just before Barack Obama, there was a major incident with white kids beating up black kids and standing under a tree. We go down there. We go down there. Big ride. What happens? We get turned to the left by Barack of our shady ass, Al Sharpton, and Jesse Jackson Jr. Senior, my brother, Jesse Jackson Sr. And what happened? Nothing. Here we about to come up again. On the anniversary of the court date of Trayvon Martin, everybody went down there in Miami, students, everybody, angry young Americans, goes down there. And what happens? They get turned back around again by Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. Now, here we go. Everybody want to say the leadership ain't doing nothing, but we respect our elders. Let the truth be told. Let these motherfuckers, if everybody say that the young folks do not respect the elders, you can see by the lack of black leadership right now that we do respect our elders because they go to the street right. And we do what they say do. They say stop, and we stop. They say go here, we go there. We don't go so we call Michael and say, no, we ain't with y'all. We don't go H.R. Brown. No, we ain't with y'all. You know, we don't do that. We sit down and say, okay, yes, sir, you right, elder. I'm a follow your leadership. That's what we do. So yep. they can't sit here and say that we don't respect our elders. They can't say that at all because we do. And it seems that we're getting bad intel because our elders are part of that black death. They're the last remnants of the COINTELPRO. They are just right now in prominent positions. That's all, Toby. They're in prominent positions, and we don't even know we don't know who they are.
That's right.
You know? They are congressmen, they are state legislators, they are businessmen, they are people that they're the ones fronting all our operations and telling
that's
us
right.
where to go, what to do. And that's where we are right now. And it's a damn shame. You know, it's sad. You know, it's nothing to be I'm not trying to be on my high horse, everybody, and sit here and bash. But I wanna have a place where my grandchildren can say this is it. This is the America that my grandmama lived in. Not saying the racial situation, but the fact that families are intact, people got land, you know, people saving some of their children, people, you know, families are intact, black people are buying businesses. I want America that my grandparents had. I ain't talking about the racial part, but the own where they had the black Wall Street, where they had their own black businesses. Before they had a chance to go downtown, had our own money, our own cab system, our own bus system. Hey, you know, why not have America like that?
Where
capitalism is not shunned upon in the black community, where everybody feels that we can start our own businesses and have our own businesses and employ our own people, where capitalism is alive and well. That's all. Is that so hard, Toby? Is that so hard?
Nah, well, it's hard unless if we don't get a critical mass of what I would say young people talking and mobilizing and learning principles of community organization and getting really about the business. I think it's hard then. But I think it's the right place. It's the right message. The struggle is, again, do we have a critical mass of informed, committed, organized, young, emerging leaders? And I suspect that we don't. And I think it's because we're not intentional about making sure we develop it.
That's the deal. And that goes. I'm trying to let me piggyback this. So the last time you was on our show, you was doing this little you got your soapbox and screaming at frats. What are y'all doing? What are we doing? And this is it right here. I mean, isn't this what frats were created for? To be the leaders of the community to make sure that blacks were not getting shortchanged or the talented tip of the elite class of educated African Americans make sure that the bottom half will not be left alone. I mean,
that's
isn't
right.
that what the Is that what it was all about, you know? Or was it about, I can't be in your frat, so I'm going to start my own frat, and that's just like that? I mean, I hope it was not like that. I hope it was we want to start a brotherhood organization so we can be the next leadership. That's what I thought.
Unfortunately, some of it's gotten morphed up, and, you know, we spend more time partying and playing around with each other
then we do really changing conditions of our people.
Well, you
so,
think that was government? You think that was government and inspired? Because I read somewhere a long time ago, I'm not quite sure, but sure I read it, or literature I read it in, might be some COINTELPRO information, where they said that they did a study and said too many African-American leaders was coming out as black frats. So what they did was make sure that the frats got high, party, and bullshit. And that's what happened. I think they started in like in the mid-70s where they realized that King was an alpha. Most of the prominent leaders that was coming out was for fraternal organizations. They realized that that message was coming into there. Maybe in the 70s that infiltrated so highly that everybody wanted to do is get drunk and step and get a paddle to her ass. I mean, that's probably where we are right now, you know, and I hope that the show that we did earlier, I hope that some frats heard it. You said the iotas are changing their new philosophy, and everybody takes that that philosophical point of view that we must each one teach one and raise our community up because, like I said, if the frats live up to their credo and their motto, then the black community should be shit. And I was 100% better, at least 65. I'll go say 65%, you know, a little bit over half.
That's right.
You know, if not all, just a little bit over half, and that would do a whole lot if nothing at all. You know, at least we would have saved somebody, you know what I'm saying? Somebody and something, you know, at least that would happen. But what's your take on all? Let me give you, I got a couple of minutes before I got you on the phone, so I don't want to take your time. That swab of your mouth from DNA. You know, also the Supreme Court also taking up the Voters' Rights Act. You know, also that's on the block now. Here we here in Obama land, and the Voters' Rights Act is still up for grabs. You know, they got. I think the court case is Shelby County, Alabama versus Holder Nix, and the issue is the continued use by the federal government of the key enforcement provision of the landmark Voting Rights Act of 1965 case, Section 5, gives the federal authorities open-ended oversight of state localities with a history of voter discrimination. Now, do you think we still need the Voters' Rights Act 65, Toby, or you think we have gotten past it right now where we don't need no federal intervention in local elections? What do you think?
I actually think we still need it. It's for nothing else to ensure that people who are already in some way, shape, or form marginalized don't get that particular element of their civil liberties further eroded or inappropriately challenged. So I believe it's still necessary. Again, if we just look at what's happening with civil liberties all over America, there are certain fronts that we can't give ground on. And I think voting is one of those fundamental ones that we tend to forget that people used to create all kinds of special tests to block access to the voting polls. And that's not too far away. That's still stuff that can still happen, and those kind of games continue to get played. So I think we still need it. Not a good story is all that we don't need it anymore. We've overcome. We got a black president. We made it. Yeah. Now.
Right. It seems that we got stuck. It seems like time stopped. Time stood still. It seems like we fell. We're sleepwalking. We're sleepwalking.
Yeah.
Because time has stood still. We're going to wake up 2 years from now and wonder what happened. You know, yeah, we're going to ride Obama out. Yeah, we got one. Yeah, we did it. First black. That's all good. That's not a problem. The problem is when the work going to start. Will we be able to protest and demand things after Obama leaves? Or will they say you had your chance when Obama was here? Y'all didn't ask for nothing, so don't ask me for nothing. And make it be justifiable right. I mean, right now the Hispanics can stand, the Latino, Latina, and Latinos can stand together and demand anything they want. Homosexuals can demand anything they want. Mm-hmm. Women can demand anything. White women can demand anything they want. If you are transgender, which I don't know a race you belong to, you know, if you're a woman who dresses like a man who thinks she's a man, or you're a man just like a woman who thinks she's a woman, or if you're a woman who wants to have some man genitals, or a man that wants to have some woman genitals, you still got a right in the Obama administration. I'm just saying. You know, it's just sad. It's sad. And again, I voted for him, and I'm not ashamed of voting for him because of the image that he represents. And I was still going to record saying how I did vote for the image and not for the plan because I knew there was no plan. I did think that my children needed that image, just like the Irish Catholics needed the image of Kennedy being their president. I thought that my daughters and sons and granddaughters and grandchildren, when I have them, should see or know that an African-American, because he is an African-American, half African, half American, an African-American, a person of color can be in the White House. But far as that, it's as if he don't want to do nothing, or he ain't trying to do nothing, or he just going along to get along. It's hard to say. I can't call it. You know, I can't call it. What Eric Holder did or has done, I can't take his side because I want to say, man, Eric Holder, I'm with you. But, dude, I don't like the IRS. I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? I don't like them. You know, there's under your, I mean, I don't like the fact that there are guns being sold over Mexico fast and furious. You're not dealing with that. It's as if the last 5 years now, 6 years now, you've been president, 5 years now.
That's right.
About president, that I'm not going to say the war has not got better. We got Bin Laden. We're fighting war terrorism. We're doing all this stuff. If you are a foreign policy hawk, then there's no complaint against Obama. If you are a liberal, peacenik, you should have a problem with Obama. If you are a pet Africanist, you should have a problem with Obama. If you are USA for Africa, say, you know, then you got a problem with Obama. You know, if you and all those things, you have a problem with Obama. But if you're a policy hawk, a right-wing policy hawk, you have no problem with him at all. So when I look at the Obama crisis, I look at people laughing and arguing over the wrong thing. John McCain has no problem with Obama because all McCain's things are getting passed. But do Elijah Cummings have a problem with Obama? When ain't no black laws getting passed, you know what I'm saying? Do we have a problem? Do Maxine Waters have a problem with Obama? When H.R. 40 can get passed? But did you hear about it?
Nope.
Congressional that
company
is trying to get a meeting with Obama.
Oh, so one. Let me get straight. For the record, Emmett says one congresswoman that's been trying to get a meeting with Obama because she's a black woman. She didn't meet Obama.
She didn't meet with.
Why is that? I wonder. Do you mean Obama don't have no respect for the black caucus?
Yes.
Right. So that right because Ronald Reagan said fuck the black caucus, so Obama said fuck the black caucus. We got a black president. They're gonna deal with it. They're gonna love you anyway. Don't do nothing. That's what has happened, and that is where we are at, America. What do you think the solution can be, Toby? What do you think the solution can be?
Well, I'm kind of like Carl in terms of calling for some new Jack leadership, and we gotta be unafraid to hold leaders accountable, even if it's not popular. We've got to come up with a new canon within our community. I was on another discussion earlier about coming up with a new quote bylaw for our community that lays out some very clear standards associated with, you know, how you're supposed to function as a quote leader. Again, whether you're black or white, if you are a true quote representative of people, how are you supposed to really respond to them and their interests? And I think we're missing a lot of that. So we need some new.
I agree with the last caller that dropped. That was Toby Miller. We do need some new leadership out here. And that's the problem. This is Jimmy Underground Radio Network. We're about to take a quick little break right now until we get everything situated. Carl West, man, I know your call dropped, man, but you on it. And get that information out to the people, because I want to see, are they blocking us out from downtown? Is this a blockout going on? I'll be back in a minute, everybody. 347-838-9825.
All this time, I couldn't shake your memory, and I never knew the sweetest love was the first. So what am I supposed to do about this curse? Oh, baby, I've got you to blame. And I'm calling, calling at your name. Oh, he's so fine, Jimmy Lee. Oh, he's so fine, Jimmy. Jimmy.
And now, the mellow sounds of Jimmy Earl.
Never meant to make you cry. You were the only one I've ever loved in my life. And though it's hard for me to show it, I've got to let you know it. 'Cause darling, I'm loving you more each day. But the word got in my
can't do it no more. I can't sing no more sad songs. 1, 2, 3, hit me. Bop, bop, bop it out of bebop. Bop, bop, yeah, bass man. Come on up. 1, 2, 3, hit me. Sound good. Yeah. Saxophone on the floor. 1, 2, 3, hit it.
I'm with my man El Presidente, Tobey Miller, my older father, in Indianapolis, Indiana. My fault, your mic get cut off. You get cut off in the middle of a speech. I think you're on the phone drop. What were you saying now? Tobey.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. I got you on. You on. I got you now. Yeah, your phone was
You dropped your phone call. You were saying something about the next generation of black police officers. I forgot where you got cut off.
No, I was just, again, raising the banner. I think Ebony said it best as well. We got to be the next leaders that we need because the cats that we have currently aren't cutting the rug in that regard. We have to really be intentional about holding people accountable. And I think, unfortunately, we've gotten scared to do so. We got fat, dumb, and happy and believe we made it.
Right.
And,
fat, dumb, and happy.
Yeah, and we just got to change that script. So I'm feeling what your guest is talking about. Jimmy, you already know. I salute everything you're talking about because you're right on money. And it's always good to have enlightened black Republicans on the set.
Right. I'm glad you called in. Because let me tell you what we are in the middle of, Toby, right now. I'm in the middle, the Martin Luther King Republicans are in the middle of launching out a campaign. And let me tell you, if all my Republican friends are listening, thought Jimmy Lee was talking shit, don't get mad because I popped up with my man Dan Rutherford on the day he announced Sunday. Don't get mad at me that I got state rep candidates running like I said I was. Don't get mad at me because the Martin Luther King Republican got a slate of really black folks kicking it. Don't get mad at me, Angel Garcia. How come you can speak to me at the event? Because the young Republican is running everybody, you trying to outbeat me? Angel, you ain't got no black folks. Let me tell you, Toby, I made a statement like, that's it. The Martin Luther King Republicans, we about to take this shit over. Everybody and their mama, I mean, the newspaper soundbites, the news quotes, everybody been taking bits and pieces of my little soundbite, and now they're trying to duplicate and emulate the movement that I'm on. Now, the movement that I'm on, Toby, I'm trying to turn Chicago red, straight up, trying to make, and it's the most difficult task that can be accomplished. And all my folks know that we're about to go on a losing battle. We know we might not come out alive, and if we come out alive, then it won't come clean. Point blank, this we know. So, everyone else is going to try to run like we got the plan, we got the message, we're going to win. But they're not even black. They're not. I have a young lady by the name of Cassandra Stewart. She's running in the fifth state rep district. She's a single mother, employed, but the state ain't doing shit for her. She voted Democratic all her life. Matter of fact, went to a state rep several times for assistance, and he turned her down for the last decade. So right now I got single moms. I got revitalized members of gangbangers of society that probably got slapped on the wrist for things that they shouldn't have done, but now they're ready to come back and correct their mistakes by assisting their people. What I have is images of every black walking life from A to B. Each law that has affected everything from the criminal aspects of the game to how the states are not providing money to single mothers to how the state. I got a web fairy skipping about to run because of shit. I mean, everybody that is suffering, I have a team of Republicans, and I said again, of Republicans that are running. Now, this is frightening, the establishment, not only the Democratic establishment, but the Republican establishment, because here, it's like a country club. There's a man by the name of Dan Prophecy, the white guy. White guy Dan Prophecy, the white Republicans here in Chicago and Cook County, I mean, Illinois. All they do is sit up in the ivory towers, eat their caviar champagne, and toast their glasses with the Democrats, which is true. That's why Republicans don't run here in Illinois. Here in Chicago, Toby, it's like this. If you're in a Democratic, if you win your primary, the election is over. You know, and now you have to go to November. You know, there's a primary, then there's the general. If you're a Democrat and you win the general, you won the election because there's nobody running against you off top. Because the Republicans don't run nobody because they have no black Republican or they ain't got nobody that can represent black people well, you know. And the fact that it's funny, Ebony, and I haven't figured Ebony out to this too. Turn my stout on this. Every day when you become black Republicans, the level of freedom that you feel, you understand. You understand? You can't realize how. Now, I voted Democrat. I carried the water for the Democratic Party. My mother was one of the most powerful Democratic committeemen in the city. So I'm not fronting on. I know how you feel. But the difference between the Tillman Democrats and the other Democrats were the Tillman Democrats were independent. And the Tillman Democrats fought what? The Democratic Party, because the Democratic Party didn't have the interest of the black people. That's why the Democratic Party got there. That's why they got together, led by Jesse Jackson Jr., to put my mother out because she is too whatever. She's too whatever. Black. Too black. They told my mama, they told my mama this, like, Dorothy, you too black. You know what I mean? We can't, no, we want to be black too, but, you know, you're stopping our money. You know, we can't do, I mean, we want to go down there with you, Dorothy, but we can't. These are politicians to my mother. When she's screaming that we need more black countries. Yeah, Dorothy, I understand that, but you know, we can't be with you right now. You know, or, now, here's the funny part. Now, there's a thing in Illinois, it's gone now, Toby. It was called the big box issue back in like 5 or 6 years ago, maybe 7 years ago. And my mother was for the big box deal, trying to say, let's bring these Walmarts and Targets in the neighborhood. So what the unions did, and the people could stand my mother, the white contractors, because we want a black contractor to build all these spots up in here, because we feel that black folks need work, and to be a black community. It does well for a little child to see a black kid do a black man do construction, you know, working, you know, it's imagery, mm-hmm. you know, opposite all this. So anyway, the union come against us saying that we need a living wage. If you have a Walmart in here, you need a living wage. People can't support their family-owned Walmart, notwithstanding that Walmart was not intended for adults to raise a family off of, nor McDonald's, nor any of these part-time jobs that are made to get the youth employment opportunities and prevent them from being on the street. But now we got, now the economic, well, make a long story short, ain't no black Walmart. Well, the Walmart's coming now in the community 8 years later, but now they're all for adults. You know, what they was intended for when the economic boom was in for the youth to get employed, they're not. It's funny now that the youth are fighting with the elderly for McDonald's jobs. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So this is where we're at right now, where you got McDonald's employees and Kmart employees picketing because they want to get paid $11 an hour because they cannot raise their family off of Walmart, off of Kmart, McDonald's, Burger King, off of, and it was not meant to be for anybody to raise their family for. None of those fast food jobs, none of these part-time jobs, those low-skilled jobs were not meant for adults.
That's right.
Let me get, when I worked at McDonald's, I felt funny seeing a grown-ass lady at McDonald's with me working. Like, damn, man, you old. You got kids. What the fuck you doing here? You know, if you ain't the manager, why are you on a register? Mm-hmm. Why are you making flipping burgers? Mm-hmm. No, don't you feel bad? But the way the economy is now, you have elderly kids. Like, right now, there's no job ahead for the youth in the summer because people got to pay their bills and light bills. And those senior citizens that retired, they can't afford anything no more because of Obamacare. They have to get these part-time jobs because of their time. You know, and now you got people fighting for low-wage jobs. You got people coming out with college degrees competing against elderly, retired, seniors, and young high school people for a fucking job at Walmart.
That's right.
That's a shame. And that's NAFTA. That's Bill Clinton. That's, I mean, where are the jobs? And, you know, Indiana right-to-work state. Illinois is not a right-to-work state. I mean, oh, man, I'm my fault, Toby. I just got on my high horse. That just hit me right then. You got cats coming out with college degrees fighting over jobs with senior citizens and little kids.
That's right.
You know, all the good with the high technical jobs, them going to the Asian and Silicon Valley or over to Mexico or over to the China. I mean, there is no high-paying jobs here unless you work for the government. You know, unless you, I mean, and then how, oh, my God. No, let me get a minimum wage issue, all that stuff going up, because everybody might think I'm mean. When I say fuck the minimum wage, you cannot force an employer just not hire nobody. You know what I mean? You know, I mean, I'm hiring you for $10 an hour. I can pay you $10 an hour. Okay, but you want $15? I got to let you go now.
That's right.
I can't afford to
That's
pay
right.
you. Your health insurance. You know what I'm saying? Oh my God. Where are we going to end up at, Toby? Where are we going to end up at?
Well, again, I think that we're moving towards a really, in my opinion, an entitlement society where you use the capitalist system as a welfare state of sorts. You know, jobs. These companies are in the business of doing social welfare. They're in the business of making money. And when you start engineering social policy through your economic policy as it relates to small business, you're going to cost yourself out. And you're going to get into a situation where it is an entitlement society, and people believe that because you work at McDonald's, you're supposed to be making $40,000 a year.
Right.
It's not designed for that. That's not the role. It's not the purpose. But now people say the government owes us for these companies to pay this money. I really have a difficult time with the government telling people, telling companies how much you have to pay people and even who you have to hire. So, because that gets into that affirmative action piece. I struggle with affirmative action. I probably benefited from it, but, and here's my last little burn on this, Jimmy, but
how say I want to know in my generation, I want to know if you was born from the year 1967 to 1979, how did you benefit from affirmative action? I would like to know right now, how many people tell me how? I would like to know. I would like to meet some. I'm not saying it happened, but I would like to meet a Negro who benefited from affirmative action. That is not of that age generation.
Tell me
how it happened to you. Just tell me how you benefited from it.
I'm kind of giving it the benefit of the doubt. I probably did somewhere along the line.
Okay, somewhere down the line.
I might have gotten a paper route because of somebody saying, oh, we need to hire this little black kid. Okay.
But it tell you that. Okay, I got you. But it tell you that. Okay. I got you. And just like the Republican Party, okay, I might not benefit from having cats back me, but it's like, hey, we need a black guy. Okay, you might be right, Toby. I'll give you that. But it's funny you said affirmative action because that's another case that the Supreme Court is taking up. It's Fisher versus the University of Texas at Austin. And here's the funny part, Toby. It ain't no blacks that took her spot. It's Asians and Hispanics overcrowding at the University of Texas at Austin is the reason why this white girl did not get selected. But you throw out affirmative action and you think it's black. You know what I'm saying? Just like immigration and you think it's Hispanic. You know, and that's what I'm saying. Now, it's a funky case. Do we need college, university? See, they should have just went on and called it the Black Affirmative Action. You know, or the Black Voters' Rights. Because the Voters' Rights Act, as we know it now, ain't for blacks. Affirmative action right now is not to amend the wrongs that were done by slavery. None of these laws that we have out now that was meant to ease the conditions of slavery do not pertain to us right now.
That's right.
Period. Homosexuals benefit from more affirmative action than blacks. You know,
that's right.
What's the Ebony? Handicap. We know something. You can be a female, transgender, handicapped, African-American, and right there, every box is checked. I got me a gay, black woman walking with a cane.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I knocked out the disabled clause. I knocked off my black cause. I knocked off my, all right there. You know, when no one has gotten hung, well, I take it back. People have gotten hung for being gay. I take it back. People have gotten killed for being gay. I take it back, too. But you have not been denied. No one has never turned you away from a lunch counter because you had a switch in your itch or you had titties and a mustache. No one has been turned away from that. You know, no one has not been denied the right to vote because they're homosexual. No one has been denied. Well, I cannot say employment because you was gay. Because then you can say if you in the Boy Scouts, then that was denied employment. But who wants someone who desires men sexually to be around men in a camaraderie situation? Like, again, I know I'm running out of time right here. Like this church here. There's a church here that said they're about to disband their Boy Scout troop because the Boy Scout passed a law saying that
it's okay to have open homosexual boys in the Scouts. So the church said they're not going to have it because they don't feel that boys of sexual nature should be sleeping in tents together. Now, someone argued that is not fair, but what makes someone homosexual is the desire to have sex with someone of the same nature, you know, and that mm-hmm. might put your child at a risk, whether it's a camp counselor or the individual, you know, that might have a desire for the individual, you know. It's just the world we're living in. But I said too tired. Okay, hey. Did it get at me? Yeah. It's shocking to me. Everybody's tripping on me because joggers now are getting raped in Chicago. You know, you're jogging down the street, dudes are jumping out and raping you, calling the day. Like, just like women was getting drugged in alleys, getting raped by men, strange men, what have you. Now they're dead doing this to men now. And this is the world that we're living in. You know, it's like a savage world that we're living in. And it's very strange. And it's funny, let me give you the last word to it, but it's funny because here in Chicago, we have the Gay Pride Parade coming up sometime in June. And the politicians here in Chicago did not vote on the gay rights or gay marriage bill. So the transgender, LGBT community said that no politicians can march in our parade, you know, and they banned them all marching in the parade and holding them accountable for. And the politicians are upset. Ain't that about something? That the homosexual community can hold the politicians' feet to the fire for not getting their rights met, and we as African Americans sit back and have our rights snatched from us with thunderous applause, as the lady said in the movie. So what's going on, Toby, man? Why don't you, you know, the last couple of minutes, why don't you inform our people about the new leadership program that our Five Thetas are taking on in its next leadership role? And, you know, I need the last word, my man, before I fade out. Stevie Wonder.
That's what's happening, brother. I appreciate it, and I love your points. As it relates to the fraternity, I think I shared with your audience, and I'll share with this one tonight. You know, we are recognizing that Iota Phi Theta has an urgent mission to really re-inspire what it means to be a man. In Iota, we believe a man is somebody who's meaningful, active, and necessary. And we're recognizing that we have not been the vanguard organization that we need to be. So, and part of that's because we've gotten, like a bunch of the rest of our community, fat, dumb, and lazy. And we thought we've made it. We're okay. You know, we're a part of the MPAC. We've made it. And the edge that we brought to our sense of fraternalism that was obviously forged in the 60s, that edge has gotten pacified and assimilated. So some of the brothers, and particularly a chapter here in Indianapolis, have decided, you know, learn from that. We need to bring back the sense of urgency around being the vanguard organization of men in our community, to be able to defend, protect, secure our women, children, institutions, and organizations, really to become a much more urgent and intentional force among Black men. And then also to put our brothers, our potential initiates, in the fire, so to speak, where we don't believe that, you know, leadership is just conferred because you all of a sudden join an organization. We expect our prospects to be vetted by the community they endeavor to serve. So we have brought our membership intake process from behind the veil and made it very public, and involve the public to in our program to the extent that they are interviewing our prospects, challenging and partnering with our prospects, really getting them immersed in the mission and issues impacting our community. We believe it's a call for the rest of fraternities and sororities. Bring those membership intake initiations and programs out into the public and make yourself a relevant an intentional force in our communities. The bake sales are cool, they're fun. The parties are wonderful. But that's not what we need anymore. I think the title for the show tonight is intentional, and it's appropriate. We need to be new jack leaders in our community, and it's a call from Iota Phi Theta to all the rest, and it's specifically a call from Iota Phi Theta to itself, become the vanguard of men in our communities. So again, Jimmy, I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks for the opportunity to give a commercial. You know I've got love for you and Ebony and the folks up in Chicago, and I'll be on whenever you need.
No problem, Toby Miller. Ebony, you got a little message you want to say, Ebony?
Yeah, the NGLC, New Generation Leadership Council, will be having their leadership luncheon on June 21st. Excuse me, for tickets, contact MidwestGap@gmail.com. Featured guest speaker, Marlo Calvin. It's going to be at the Hubbard Inn, 149 West Hubbard, from 11:30 to 1. That's the NGLC Leadership Luncheon. That's Carl West Peace, and so we're going to be there to support Carl.
What's up?
All right, Abby, that's how we're going to do it. I'd like to thank my man Toby Miller, Carl West. It is Black Music Month, Monday. I'm sorry to have a little dedication today, but I have some tomorrow. Who here come up Thursday, Ebony? We all know, but don't forget to tune in to Coffee Tea, the conversation with who? Jay Juwan coming up Thursday. A conversation with Dorothy Tillman. Again, those politicians ain't done nothing. The Martin Luther King Republicans are coming for you all. Good night, everybody. May your God be with you.